You buy oil by the barrel.
Yeah, but oil isn't fuel.
But oil is made. That's how you make fuel, isn't it?
Yeah, but petrol and oil are different things. Like, I put oil in my car and I put petrol in my car.
Correct.
I don't know, but petrol.
Like petrol, you have to have oil to make petrol, right?
I don't know.
I thought you did.
I don't know.
Isn't that the whole thing about why we went to war with the Middle East? Because we needed oil.
But do we need oil for oil?
Yeah, oil.
But like...
I just realized I have no idea what oil is.
Spider-Man.
Yay. I need help with doing a push-up.
This is still going?
Yep. Welcome, everybody.
Hey.
This is still the same conversation from last week's podcast. We're just splitting it in half to make our lives easier. So where did we leave off? Aiden bought a $700 knife.
Okay, let's not conflate. It's a $600 knife.
Yeah.
It was $599 actually. And it came with a free knife bag holder. You see, like, in those, like, it's kind of like those torturers kits. You know, when they, like, roll out their tools.
This is a strong start. Yes. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Hey, all right. Okay.
Yeah. Ellie.
Sit down.
On your chair. On your chair. Ellie, not that chair. On your chair.
Smooth transition.
So I'm talking to this girl.
Uh-huh.
We matched on Hinge and then we were going to go on a date. She's like, yes, absolutely, but I'm traveling Japan right now.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Anyway, she said, I'm going to buy a knife tomorrow. I'm going to the knife district because there's a whole fucking district of Tokyo that's just devoted to making knives, right? Because obviously knives are very culturally significant to Japanese people. And I said, oh my God, that's so fucking crazy. I want to buy a Japanese knife.
Yeah.
Send me pictures. I want to know all about it because I'd love to have done that, but I haven't been to Japan. And she said, well, I can buy you one. Just bring it back because we're going to see each other on Friday. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. I don't know. Maybe. She's like, okay, fine, whatever. And that was the last thing we had, the last conversation we had that night. The next morning, she messaged me. She's like, I'm here. I'm overwhelmed. Like a voice message. It's way more of a personal choice. I don't think I can buy you a knife, but here's what I'm seeing. And she taped some stuff and she like was videoing and whatever. Taped it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you've recorded it.
Yeah, you recorded it.
Yeah.
And it was gorgeous. Everything was amazing. The place was fucking amazing. And she bought this knife and this knife is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I was like, how much was it? She was like, oh, it was about $600. I was like, okay, what's the place called? And she told me the name of the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got on their website and bought a knife. And I found the exact knife that I want. Because I've been looking to buy one for a long time because I really enjoy being in the kitchen and I wanted a nice knife. Just one. Just like an all-purpose knife. I don't want a fucking vegetable knife and a this knife and a that knife. I just want one fucking chef's knife. So I got it and it's gorgeous. It's actually really plain looking, but it's amazing.
But you haven't used it yet? You haven't cut with it?
No, it's not here yet.
That's going to be exciting.
I bought it like 3 days ago. Let me see if I can... Where's my phone? Here it is. Let me see if I can find a picture of it. Anyway, yeah. Why did you spend so much money on a flute?
I don't know. I was high. I'm really getting into this like 432 hertz like thing, and I just like the idea of. Okay, it is plain looking. Yeah,
it is plain looking. The other side,
you told me that was $700. That's cool.
Yeah, but it's like, you know what I mean.
It's. Cut it.
Cut it. I can't wait for this, the next podcast people listen to, for you to be playing the 420 hertz flute.
432 hertz flute.
Why can you kind of touch on it before? Why aren't other,
take two.
Why isn't everything in 432 hertz?
Oh my, I don't know. I
fucking
think
fucking God.
I think really.
Like you said it like it used to be and now it's not because we discovered the power of the frequency.
No, it's just like I think, now I don't exactly know how hertz work, but I think hertz affect tuning. So like what we consider C now was slightly flatter back when in a certain time period, and that's when it was 432 hertz. The 432 hertz made it just like a tiny bit flatter. So it's not like a C becomes a...
But why is it changed?
I don't know. I guess they just went like, oh, this is just better.
Oh, okay.
They like rounded it up to like 460 hertz.
She sounded like on a piano it was 432 hertz.
What was? Oh, yeah, they would tune like whatever concert tuning is. Like what we consider A now, yeah. A used to be just slightly down.
Like semitone we're talking?
No, like somewhere between those two.
Oh, okay. So like quite a
once,
small.
Once you get to that, it's barely noticeable.
I wouldn't be able to notice it.
No one would. I mean, if you played them side by side, you'd hear like the like that. Like if you hit the same note, if you play two notes side by side,
yeah,
it'll go clean.
Yep.
If you move it slightly out, it'll go, you'll hear like a da-da-da-da-da, like you can hear the shaking in the frequency.
Sure.
And the further out you get, the bigger those shakes go. Okay.
So you'll hear them not being the same.
Yeah.
All right, sure.
But yeah, this is just like, this is...
So is this like, do you know what? In kind of this realm, this is such a strange
story. So the flute's tuned to a pentatonic scale, but it's not tuned to the same that we would use. So I couldn't play the flute. I mean, I could. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference if I played the flute with a piano that was tuned to whatever hertz it is. But it's just slightly down.
Do you know how to play the flute?
Oh, I'm going to learn. That's why I bought it.
Oh, sweet. It's wooden.
It's bamboo.
Ooh, wow. Very interesting. I'm very excited to see it.
Yep.
Is it big?
It's probably like...
It's a big flute.
You know, but it's not like a... It's a
more of like a recorder.
I also Googled it and I am allowed to play it.
That's good news.
That was my big worry because I know that we can't play the didgeridoo.
We can't. No, women can't play the didgeridoo.
I thought white men couldn't play the didgeridoo either.
Oh, I'm not sure of that. I just remember Nicole Kidman got in a lot of trouble for playing the didgeridoo on TV.
I'm pretty sure any white people can't play the didgeridoo. Also, some Aboriginal people can't play the didgeridoo.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have no interest in playing the didgeridoo. So I'm okay even if I am allowed.
I'd love to have a crack.
Really?
Yeah, but just because...
I mean, you could in your own house.
In the privacy of my home.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think there are some Aboriginal people who can't play Indigenous people. True. I think you have to be a...
Like a certain member.
A status or some sort of position
it
to...
It seems so difficult.
The didgeridoo?
And the circular breathing?
It's not that.
Circular breathing?
Yeah.
Really?
Could you learn circular breathing with any wind instrument you play?
Well, I don't know how to circular breathe.
And I've also like I understand the premise because I could didgeridoo on like a piece of cardboard.
Sure.
You know? So that's why I want to get like a proper one and have a good crack.
Yeah.
And make some sounds and just have a, you know.
Look into it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll see. Maybe I can. No, I don't know. Can you just get like, if you're playing it in the privacy of your own home, is it still allowed?
I don't know the answer to that.
You know what? I'm just not going to. I just won't do it on the podcast or something.
I think we won't have this conversation anymore on the podcast. But so I was looking into, okay, my Twitter. I have a Twitter account. I've posted there maybe four times.
Uh-huh.
And not in the last 13. When was it? When were we at uni? 10 years?
I don't know. It's not even Twitter anymore.
X. Anyway. My Twitter's now just full of porn.
I remember this. I remember that you said, I go to Twitter to watch porn. I'm like, yeah, I don't even have Twitter.
That's where I watch my porn is Twitter. I don't go to Pornhub or anything. I just go to Twitter. Because there's just like all my favorite artists.
XXX.
X. All my favorite artists are there.
Artists.
And I watch my porn there. And
I'm releasing a new album. It's called I Get Fucked by a Goat.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh. Well.
Anyway, this guy reached out to me and I don't even interact.
Anyway.
I don't interact. Yeah. But this guy reached out to me. He's a tantric healer. And I was like, what's this? And he was like, I'm a tantric healer.
You know what tantric means?
Oh, for any you don't know?
No, I said we all know what tantric means.
For those who don't know, it's like sexual healing, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like if you said that to a tantric healer,
they'd be
go,
really upset.
It's not just sexual.
I said that to one of my housemates and I said, I'm not really sold on what it is. And they were like, it's like vibrational and emotional and breath work. And it is more than... just sex, because like tantric sex is not necessarily penetrative sex. I learned you can sit opposite each other and meditate and sort of like feel each other and you can hands free come if you're really good at it. Anyway, this person reached out to me and I was like, I was like, I'm interested. Like, sure, like might as well. And he's like, just go to my website and you see like what we offer and blah blah blah. And it was like, you know, like tarot reading and this and that. And then there was like tarot reading plus a massage. I was like, okay. Sure.
I ended up finishing the, like, your tense at the tarot reading, and you do it, and it's like, oh, that was great.
would you like your hand job now?
Yeah, pretty much that.
Yeah.
But like full body massage, and then he would do sexual massage. But yeah. like, I love massage. So it's like, sure, why not? And
I love massage.
Love a hand job. So
throw those two things together.
What am I going to complain about?
Yeah.
And you know it going in. It's not just some random little Asian lady saying, would you
Eastern massage? Like,
no, thanks.
That's a callback to a story, by the way,
long
everybody.
A long time ago. Yeah. So I was like, sure. And he was like, it'd be $150 for a 2-hour experience. I was like, wow, so cheap, blah, blah, blah. And then I realized that he's located in Byron Bay. And I was like, oh, that sucks. Well, mm-hmm. I'm not traveling to Byron Bay. I said, do you ever come to Melbourne? He's like, yes, but I don't do work there. I was like, okay, no worries. And then I was sort of hooked on this idea of like experiencing Kendrick. It. Like I just went like, I've always been kind of curious about it. And I thought, all right, fuck it. Who cares? I'm mm-hmm. an adult. I've got money. I can do what I like. So I Googled Tantra Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman came up. And she was like, yeah, I do men and women. You know, I do like, I can solve people's erectile dysfunction. I can solve people's premature ejaculation. I can heal sexual trauma. And I was like, ha-ha, yes, let's do this, right? Mm-hmm. And I messaged her and she was like, yeah, absolutely. I can do that. It's one of my specialties. It'll be a 2-hour experience with breath work and this and that and sensory work. And I was like, this sounds amazing. And she's like, I'm free tomorrow, being today. And I was like, okay, sure, yeah, you book me in for whatever time.
No wonder you're so relaxed.
How much will it be?
Yeah.
No, I haven't gone.
Okay.
How much will it be? And she said, well, for the 2-hour experience, it will be
$500. Uh-huh.
And I said, too rich for my blood. I didn't do it.
I'm just here for a hand job, lady. $500.
Yeah, but $500 seems like a lot of money.
Doesn't seem like that much money.
Really?
I mean, when you're talking about like sex work, it doesn't like that.
But it's not, but I guess it is sex work.
I feel like we had this conversation once before where we all realized how costly sex work is.
Really?
Like it, like just to like, to go in and have sex for an hour is like $800 or like some ludicrous amount of money.
For an hour?
Yeah. I mean, what you're like...
I'm not having sex for an hour.
No, but I mean like whatever experience it is, it's...
Sure.
You know.
It's like $400 you think it was cheap.
I don't know. I'm not particularly interested in... No shame to sex workers at all. There's zero shame.
Yeah, but is a tantric person a sex worker?
I guess if they're offering a sexual service at the end, they're a sex worker.
Yes.
You know, an OnlyFans person is a sex worker and they're not having sex with anybody. I think any sort of sexual service ends up being sex work.
Sure.
I'm not interested, not because of the money, just because
it's not for you.
It's just not my, it's not my bag, baby. But I I'm not shocked to hear that it's $500 for 2 hours of her time.
Yeah.
And at the end, she's got to tug you off.
I guess so. I was shocked.
I wish I didn't say tug you off.
Yeah, me too.
But like also, it's not just you. Like think of the people that she...
Oh no, I get it. Like know. I totally get it. And also if...
Imagine like, if they did it like that. Like for you, 200. And then some guy goes in and goes, how much for me? And you're like, $7,000. Keep your shirt on.
God. Yeah, no, I get that. But I am curious. I think I might do it, but not for $400. Or maybe for $400 and I'll just save up for that.
Would you ever get into sex work? Like do it yourself?
No, I don't think so.
No? You don't think you can handle it?
I don't think I'm good enough. Because a male sex worker, like if I was going to be a male sex worker as in like pay me and I will have sex with you, God, I'd have to be good.
Sorry, I keep missing calls.
And I flat out don't think I'm very good at sex.
I mean,
people have come back for more.
Yeah.
So I can't be terrible. But like...
I don't think anyone's that good at sex. I think if everyone's having a cum, you're doing just fine.
Yeah, if everyone's coming then.
If everyone's having a cum, I mean, we're not porn stars, you know? Yeah,
but even porn stars, how good are they?
I don't know.
Because everyone's faking it.
Because what they're doing is a craft, a tool. You try and bring that actually into the bedroom and you end up hurting yourself.
But also, they're faking.
Yeah.
The women are not making those noises.
No.
Yeah.
I think if everyone's coming, you're having a great time.
Okay. And I'm always having a great time.
Hey.
Like I enjoy myself. I don't like think sex is bad, but I just wouldn't say that I'm... I don't think anyone's walking away saying, God, almighty, that's the best sex I've ever had.
Mm.
Sadly. But maybe this is just my warped perception of myself.
I don't know. I don't...
I'll get some testimonials for the next podcast. Go back and ask.
I'll just walk in limping. Yeah. Like, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Did I tell you about Will Anderson?
You told me about Will Anderson on stream.
Oh, yeah. All right. So,
but tell the podcast, because I have been thinking about this. Sorry, I've been thinking about this for a while.
So I went and saw Groundhog Day, the musical, which was just phenomenal. I just loved it. Will Anderson sat next to us. For those who don't know Will Anderson, Will Anderson's an Australian comedian. I think
maybe in Britain.
I don't know how big he is in Britain.
Oh, and you know who I'm thinking of? One Leg.
Yeah, Adam Hills.
Adam Hills.
I like him. Adam Hills and Will Anderson are like...
very similar in my brain.
Yeah, Will Anderson is kind of like dark Adam Hills.
Yeah.
He's kind of like evil Adam Hills.
Yeah, Will Anderson, host of the Gruen Transfer.
Yeah. He spends a bit of time on Australian television. So the person I was with, Connie, was with me, and she recognized him straight away, said, "That's Will Anderson." And I was like, "No, it's not." "Oh, it is." Like, it was like that. But he came in...
because the comedy festival is on at the minute, so everyone's in Melbourne.
Oh, yes. No shame to Will Anderson, I'll say. What I'm saying is my experience of what I saw. I might have gotten it wrong, but this is just what I think I saw.
Sounds a lot like it probably would be true.
So he came in with a black cap and a black hoodie. And he stood at the end of our row and like took his black cap and his black hoodie off, like revealing himself.
And then took a deep breath and went...
So the point I'm trying to make as I tell this story is that I think he wanted people to know Will Anderson was in the building.
Yeah.
And he comes down our row... and he like did that thing, you know, when you're going to sit, this is a visual bit, but like you're coming in like this to sit. Actually, I'll do it this way for the
sure. So
you're going in to sit. If you're going to see like an amateur show, you might know people in the audience.
Hell yeah!
And before you sit down, you might turn around and like look at the audience behind you and just sort of like look around.
Yep.
And be like, "Oh, hey, Aiden, or hey, Ben, like if I see you there, enjoy the show," and then you fucking sit down. But he did that. He like turned around and went like, "Oh boy," you know. And we were
in the dress circle,
and it was only a small section. It's not like he knew anybody. He wasn't there with anybody. He was just turned around and be like, "Will Anderson is here. Will Anderson is here. Will Anderson is in the building."
Yeah, he seems like the type of guy to talk about himself in the third person. Will Anderson enjoyed that.
Will Anderson is hungry. Will Anderson might go get a Parmigiana.
Well, he always talks, all of his comedy shows are a play on his name, Will Anderson.
What do you mean?
Well, keep telling the story. I'll get up his show, the title of his show.
First. Oh, okay, yeah. It's like, will you laugh?
kind of, but pretty much like that.
So then he's looking at his ticket. And he leans down into my dad, my stepdad, who's older than him. And he's like, "Are your eyes better than mine?" And my stepdad's like, "Hey." He's like, "What is it?"
"It's illegitimate."
Okay, great work, Will. So he leans down and goes, there's no reason for him to talk to people around him.
No, none.
And he's like, "Your eyes better than mine?" He's like, "Could you read my ticket? Like to see where I'm sitting. By the way, he has to know where he's sitting because he's in the row."
Yeah.
Like it's fucking stupid.
He's standing in the seat, isn't he?
He's come down to like...
Sure.
Yeah. He was like two over. So clearly he's saying, "I'm going to talk to you so that you go, oh, it's Will Anderson. And look how friendly and cool I am."
I'm so down to earth with that Will Anderson.
He just came over and made me read a ticket that...
he could definitely read.
That he could read, because there'd be no reason for him to be in this row near these seats if he didn't know what his ticket was. He goes, "Can you read it?" And my stepdad goes, "Groundhog Day, the musical, presented by..." Which I thought was...
such a gag.
Good gag.
Will Anderson, great gag.
Did laugh at that. I don't think he knew what was going on. And he goes, "Now you're in 15. And he goes, "Thank you." And sits in 15. And he's talking to this lady next to him. This old lady, you know.
You're at a matinee.
Yeah. Oh, yes, true. Yes, it was in the middle of the day. And he's going, blah, blah, he's talking so loud. And he goes, at some point he said, like, and they go, said something and they laughed. And this is what he did. So he's sitting here. She's right here next to him. And he goes, "Will,
Oh, fuck off.
And it's the hand, and so the lady has to reach over herself. And he was being pleasant. Like, he was being nice to her and everything.
Yeah, but, like, nice in a kind of, like, a... I'll talk to the commoners.
Yeah.
It's that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Look at Will Anderson amongst the common people.
He was also the only one who gave a standing ovation.
Fuck off.
Which, you know,
don't give a standing ovation from the dress circle if no one else is.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it deserved a standing ovation, but it was a matinee show, you know? You can't expect a standing ovation on every matinee or even every show.
If it deserved a standing ovation, why didn't you give one?
I didn't have the bravery to kick off a standing ovation, you know?
Some people, see, this is the thing. Being in on the stage, seeing some people stand up but not all, makes me feel like, oh, we didn't do a good enough job. If everybody stood up, I'm like, this is absurd. Mm-hmm. That's happened a couple of times, not for me, but like
in a
show. And I thought, wow, that's crazy. I fuck off, idiots. You're all drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
But like, there are some times in like Catch Me If You Can where you take a bow and then the whole company would take a bow and you look up and there's like pockets of people standing. You're like, yeah. The motherfucker who's sitting down, talk to me. Why aren't you standing up? Everyone next to you is standing.
Yeah.
So
I've been to a lot of shows where there's been a standing ovation and I've thought, no, I'm not. Really? Yeah.
Like it's just, it wasn't good enough.
No, it doesn't deserve a standing ovation.
Oh,
at
yeah.
All. Like, at all.
I've definitely been to shows like that.
Yeah. I think some people stand because of their own ego. They want to be like a part of the experience. Yes, yes. I think that's people standing
like
for their
own ego. Legitimate Will Anderson.
He was being very Will legitimate. I would say I would have stood if someone near me that wasn't Will Anderson had stood up, I would have joined. I'm never going to kick off. I'm just too shy to kick off a standing ovation or just stand up there because it's not me. It's not my show. It's not about me.
Yeah, it's not about you.
And I feel like if I'm the first one to stand up, it's, yeah.
It's, you're that celebrity guy that's kicked off the standing ovation.
Yeah. No one stood up. Like, I was sure. Like, but for him, it wasn't like, oh, I wish I was Will. I mean, maybe I'm being too harsh because I wanted to stand up. I thought it deserved a standing ovation. But then when I saw Will did it, I did, shut the fuck up, Will.
Loser.
By the way, sure, he's a very nice guy. And you know what?
Everything you're saying was he was being polite.
Yeah. And the thing is, he's also like an Australian celebrity and navigating that world out in the public probably takes a bit of thought. And maybe he was overthinking. Maybe he had to like try and be friendly to everybody and try and have little interactions and was forcing it.
But also, if he's recognizable as Will Anderson
mm-hmm.
and he's got a show on at the minute,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to be in public being an asshole because exactly. people won't come to your show.
I think
and he's one of the people that I think even non-festival goers would go and see.
Yeah.
I've been to the comedy festival twice now. I love it so much.
My you were on the telly the other day.
I was on the telly the other day.
Shared that on the story. That got a lot of love hearts.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
You shared it on your story.
Yeah.
Did you?
I was like our boy Aiden up on the telly. Listen to his voice.
That's so lovely. It was just my voice. I wasn't like actually on the telly.
It's off that story now, but I should have sent you the love hearts that came through.
No, that's gorgeous. it was a friend of mine that does a bit. When we were in Adelaide 2 years ago.
I figured it was that show.
No, it wasn't that show.
Oh.
So it wasn't the show, the Shovel Brothers show
mm-hmm.
that I did. We did Melbourne twice, Adelaide twice. It was while I was in Adelaide 2 years ago doing the Shovel Brothers show with my friend Blake Everett and Oliver Coleman. If you're in Melbourne, go and see their comedy festival shows there. Very, very funny boys. I was doing I was staying in a house with a comedian called Josh Glantz,
mm-hmm.
who's also incredible, and go see him as well. And he was sort of...
What are you doing at the comedy festival?
I'm not doing anything at the comedy festival this year,
no,
sadly.
It's a funny bit to be like, oh, these guys, go see them.
Yeah, I'm spruiking everybody.
And I'm like, and you're doing... I'll be at the pub on Thursday.
Yeah, and I'll be
eating a meal
I'll
quietly.
Correct. I'm not doing any comedy festival shows.
That was meant to be funny, not
it
mean.
Was funny. No, it was funny.
What are you doing, pussy?
Nothing. No. Anyway, we were doing the show. We were doing the show, and I was sleeping on their couch.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd get up in the morning, early morning, and sort of just Josh would get up early morning and try and figure out his whatever, and he'd be writing, and he'd come and present me things while I was half asleep. At like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And one of them was like, he's like, do you watch cricket? I was like, yeah. He said, could you just commentate me as I walk around the space? I was like, okay. So he's walking around. I'm going, oh, there he is, Josh Glantz walking around, right? And we're doing all of that. And he was like, there's something in this. And
so fucking funny.
Right. And we figured out.
I, by the way, I hate this.
Oh, but that's how.
I hate hearing about the process because it sounds like a Queen biopic. Like, it sounds like.
It is like that though, but they take it so like seriously. They have to.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I think it'd be funny to start the show like it's before the show,
mm-hmm.
and have me come out, like have him come out and like set up his props and have two people commentate for him. So
yeah.
Me and Oliver Coleman sat at the back of his, and he was doing it live, and we were just like, fuck it, we can come tonight. And he's like, great. Because these guys use Adelaide Fringe as a testing ground for the comedy festival. So we're like, okay. So we go and we're sitting in the back row, and our friend Blake Everett is on doing the tech. So he just hands us two mics, and on he comes, and there he is, Glance, setting up his props. He uses quite a few props, doesn't he, Josh? Yes, he does. And it was that sort of back and forth.
Yeah.
And then it was, oh, looks like he's got the microphone in his sights now, ladies and gentlemen, Josh Glance. Right. And everyone would cheer and it would start. And he got invited to do the All-Stars Gala this year, which is like the Comedy Festival Gala, not the All-Stars Gala, but the gala is like big, big names, international names.
Think Just for Laughs, like the televised Just for Laughs.
It's exactly that because that's the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
And it's exactly that, but the Melbourne one.
Yeah.
And the gala this year kind of stank. I didn't really like it.
I haven't watched the gala since I was probably 14 years old. And I used to watch it every single year from like when I was like 7 through. I loved the gala.
Yeah.
It's the first time I saw the Umbilical Brothers and Lana Woodley and stuff. Will Anderson.
Will Anderson, definitely. This one, I have been out of touch with it as well. So maybe I just didn't know them. Like Aaron Chen was there. He was pretty funny.
Frankie did a spot on.
On the All-Stars Gala.
Yeah. At one point, didn't she?
Last year, I think. Yeah. I think they did. Yeah. But anyway, he was on the All-Stars Gala, which is like...
Auntie Donna. Sorry, keep going.
Auntie Donna, yep. Was like just a step down, but it's a really big deal.
Yeah.
At the Palais Theatre, 3,000 people, packed house.
It's good for tickets.
Amazing for tickets,
Who's that guy from Chile? The guy... He's not from Chile. He's he's Spanish. He's a comedian. He... if I did his voice, you would know it, but I can't picture his voice. He's big now, and he did the gala and then sold out the rest of his comedy festival season. This is like 5 years ago.
Oh, that's amazing.
And now anyway, so it is a big deal. But it does help.
Yeah, right? Like it's
really good for comedians.
Yeah, really, really, really good. And he contacted me recently, and he's like, Aiden, I'm doing the fucking All-Stars Gala. I don't know what I should do. Here are my options. I'm just getting people's opinions.
Yeah, you literally get 5 minutes. Like it's
right.
5 minutes televised.
I don't fucking know. I was like, all these bits are great, but like, I don't know. And I was really non-committal because one of them I would have been involved with. So I was like, I don't know. You choose.
Yeah, I don't want to pick this just so my voice is on telly.
And he comes back and he says, I'm going to do the commentator bit, which is such a funny thing because he says 3 words in the whole sketch, right? Which is so crazy to go, like it's a ballsy move, I think, to do on the gala. Right, because everybody else comes out and does like 4 or 5 bits.
Yeah.
Right, like talking bits because Josh is like such a, it's not sketch, but like his bits are weird.
It's a weird Australian thing. And I mean, I know it's not like we're not the only people that do it, but I feel like our stand-up scene is Sam Simmons.
Yes.
Demi Lardner, fucking... Auntie Donna.
Yeah, yeah. Like
sketch. Those guys who do visual sound.
Yeah.
Like it's not just talking. It's
It's not exactly stand up. It's like sketch stand up almost.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very strange. But he decided to do that. Anyway, we went and re-recorded it and it was so much fun. We went down to the Triple M studios. Like it was a big fancy studio. And it was awesome. It was so great. I was so stoked for him because he said it went off great. And then I watched it because you can see it on ABC iView. And it got such big laughs. I was so happy for him.
The bit, by the way, everybody, it's really fucking funny. He comes up and he's like chalking his hands and Aiden and his
buddy. It's longer than that, but that's just the...
I just like the punchline of him. Yeah. You've been like, and here he comes. Like it's him coming up to the mic and he's like, he's coming up to the mic. And it's in Melbourne. And he makes his run. And he comes up and you're like, and he landed. And he takes the mic and he goes, hello, Sydney. Fuck. Yeah.
He's flubbed it.
That was it.
Yeah.
It's a good bit.
He comes up. We're talking about him. It's like, imagine you're watching the golf. if anyone's ever seen The Golf, and they're like, yes, you're talking about how he's good at thing and he uses too many props, and he's, you know, he looks at the audience. There's a great bit that he comes at, he goes, likes to survey the audience before his show glance. And yes, he does, Ted. He likes to see where the big laughers are, where the, you know, the, yeah, the larrikins are, and where are the dickheads. And then gets a laugh, and then he goes, he goes, yes, I think he's spotted some there. This is just such a great, I just, it's, that's, he wrote bit, it so well.
It's funny that you spoke more than him.
On, I spoke, because he's the other commentator, right? So it's, oh, back and forth, yeah, between two commentators. So it's him and it's me.
Yeah.
But I'm doing more of the talking than he's doing.
Yeah.
So, but it's like, he's real. It's just so good. I love the whole fucking bit. I'm going to make you watch all of it after this.
Yeah.
It's like a 2-minute bit and it's just tremendous. I love it so much.
I love a good bit.
Yeah. So I was really chuffed. I was really happy. First of all, I was so amazed that he even asked me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really happy that he did it, because he's been so successful on the lower end,
yeah,
for ages, that it's like, when's he going to fucking break through?
Yeah.
And the gala might just do it for him. First time I saw him, I didn't know him. I went with my mate, Blake, and we went and saw him, and in his, he started his show with, like, the Nutcracker was playing, right? Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay. And you hear him like, no, I don't want it. Like, I just don't, fucking don't push me. And he comes out and he's half in a tutu. And then it's like, he goes back and he's like, seriously, I don't want to fucking, and he gets pushed out, but his tutu gets ripped off and he's totally naked. And his cock's just flopping around. He does the whole ballet piece. Like, he commits to doing the, that's whole so 3 minutes of ballet.
Stupid.
It's so, so funny. Oh man, I think he's just such a genius.
That's a good bit.
Yeah, that was really funny. I was dying laughing.
It's a nice thing. It's like we're talking about before, about like getting into, like, wanting to do professional music or theater. It's weird getting to 30,
yep,
and spending our time with so many artistic people,
yep,
and watching them
grow,
watching them actually succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, and this is what it's looking like to me, all of a sudden, you're the successful generation.
Mm-hmm.
You're early on, and you're looking at, like, oh, just, if I'm going to be like them, I just want to be like them. I want to be like the Umbrellical Brothers. I want to, yeah, be like that. And I just want to be, and I want to be, and I want to be. And then all of a sudden, there are younger people looking at you thinking, I just want to be like them. I just want to be like that. Not looking at me, obviously, but like looking at, like, Josh, or looking at Blake, or, you know what I mean? Like,
when we had Frankie on the podcast, she wasn't.
No, I did a pantomime with Frankie.
But now people fucking,
people know Frankie McNair. Know Frankie.
I got people that it's like.
Gorgeous as well. I absolutely adore them.
Yeah, yeah, they're good people. They deserve to get, yeah, what they want.
Yeah.
I have people, streaming people that I've been, like, Pacey. He used, yeah, to stream Pacey all the time. He's clocking hundreds of people,
really,
now.
Really?
Oh, I forgot her name.
Miss A-Game?
No. Miss A-Game's doing good too. Miss A-Game's blowing up TikTok on,
really,
on streaming to TikTok. Yeah, she's got some good shit going out there. I can't remember her fucking name now. It starts with M as well. That's why I'm stuck on Miss A-Game. Point is, she's got, like, branding deals on, like, 800.
That's so good.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just watching people around you succeed. When's it my turn? No. No, I make a living. I'm happy.
Yeah, but it is. Yeah, it's wild.
And these people, you know, that you were in a house with them, and now, like, yeah, they're crushing.
It's just like, sort of fuels that feeling of, like, I could probably do this.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting in their house and we were doing bits in the lounge room,
mm,
and they're laughing at my bits, right? And I'm helping, not helping write, but, like, helping write. Do you know what I mean? I never wrote a word on a page, but I'd help create a bit. And then you'd see that bit on the stage and you're like, oh, that's fucking cool. I saw that when it was shit. And me and Josh and Ollie and sat together and figured out how to make it funny.
Yeah.
But then when those people are saying, why aren't you doing this? That's when it makes you think, why aren't I doing this?
Because you've got to work out where you fit into that world.
Correct. So I don't fit into the stand-up world.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that I can't do stand-up. I feel it in myself that I don't think I can craft a very funny joke.
Okay.
If I had to sit down now and write a funny joke, I don't think I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know. And then, like, we did, so that on that same Adelaide trip, we went and we did this thing. They were doing, the boys were all signed up to do it was kind of like TED Talk, but it was like a play on TED Talks where they got up and there was just different stand-up comedians were shown different, like, they made a PowerPoint for each comedian,
yeah,
and you just had to talk to the PowerPoint.
It was improvised.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And they were like, one of the comedians that we had just didn't show up. Anybody want to have a go? And all of them were like, he does. And I was like, I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. And I didn't.
Oh, okay.
And then this kid got up and did it, and he was shit. And I was like, oh.
We should have done it. Yeah.
I should have done it. I'm like, why am I risk averse? I don't know the answer to that. So now, because of that, I know that the next time that I have that opportunity, I'm just going to fucking do it.
Yeah, I mean, I have a fear of embarrassing myself.
Yeah, but what's the worst case you embarrass yourself?
Yeah, that's it. That's why I'm so scared to try stand-up, is because I know I'm going to bomb eventually.
Oh, dude, are you? But there's something beautiful about bombing, I think.
But then, yes, just this. Oh, yeah.
I ended up doing, on that Adelaide trip, I ended up doing a open mic to like six people. And I said to Blake, I was like, I don't know what the fuck I would do. And he was like, get up there and tell the two asshole story.
Okay, yeah.
And that's what I did.
Yeah.
I got up there and I was like, hey, you guys.
You want to hear some wild shit?
Yeah, you guys want to hear the worst thing you've ever heard in your life?
Yeah.
Strap in. And I told them the story and nobody
strap in
laughed.
Twice.
Yeah, nobody laughed. And then I left. And it was fine. I was like, oh, why did I do that? And Blake was like, I'm not sure. And it was great.
But you know, it's that you now you know how bad it could be.
Yeah.
You shake the cobwebs off.
Yeah, it's also like, it's the same with dating. It's the same with anything, really. I'm over being embarrassed. I'm over being scared. You know what I kind of equate it to? You know when people like really think that you're in a simulation and they're like, I can do anything I want because I'm in a simulation, right? Nothing matters.
Yeah.
It's like you're a stranger. 9 times out of 10, I'm never going to see you again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say what I want to say. Right? Like if I think someone's attractive now in a bar, I'll tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm talking to a girl on Hinge and I'm like, I don't know what I'm beating around the bush for. Let's just go on a date. Like just do it.
Yeah.
Right, let's just do it. And one of my housemates is like, I never go on dates, I'm not sure. I'm like, listen, just ask. And that was a poor interpretation because they really don't sit around talking.
Yeah, but we got to get through it, you know, we're on a podcast.
We're on a podcast, we've got to get through it. So sorry about that. But like, it's like, oh, you know, like it's just whatever. It's like, just ask.
Yeah.
There's a particular person that you want to have sex with, just ask them. Ask them because maybe they do. Like I was talking to this housemate and they were like, this friend of ours was saying how they may want to have sex with you. So I instantly messaged them.
Sexy like, times.
I was like, hey.
Gonna come back to that. I want to know about that.
Yeah. I was like, hey, thoughts on us having sex? And because I was like, because I feel pretty good about it. That was the message.
Yeah.
And they were like, yes, I do.
Okay.
And if they said, no, what makes you think that way? I'd be like, oh, so-and-so said. And I was just like, whatever. I'm balls to the
whoopsie
wall.
Whoopsie doopsie.
But no, I'm not whoopsie doopsie. It's just balls to the wall.
Yeah.
I'm not being rude. I'm
putting my balls to your wall.
I'm not being rude.
No.
I'm just being forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay.
That's fine.
Brazen.
I've had a rap of the brain in the last year where like having a bunch of people hate me has made me realize that it doesn't matter.
It literally doesn't matter.
I remember sitting outside one night looking up at the stars and being like, oh, it really doesn't. And that's a real 432 hertz thought.
Yes.
But I was like, this doesn't, nothing
No,
matters.
It doesn't matter.
So fucking take some risks.
Just be happy.
Yeah.
Be happy and be surrounded by people that make you happy.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And be not surrounded by people who make you unhappy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's it, right? Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. That's it. That's the whole thing.
That's the whole
We've
thing.
Got this shit worked out.
I mean, 28 I am. Fine.
2024, we got this shit worked out.
I think it's 2024. I can't remember what my motto was for 2024.
I think mine was 2024, skid up, cut it up, cut.
Really?
Yeah.
I think mine was 2024.
432 hertz.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Be brazen.
They can't. You're gonna get sued.
Be brazen.
Try just doing it.
Just have a crack. No, it was 2024. Have a crack.
Have a crack. It's a good one.
Yeah, have a crack. Oh, my nose is running all of a sudden.
If I can get you getting juiced up.
That's probably those lines of coke we did before this podcast.
Let me see if I wrote any notes.
Oh, I have a note.
Oh, please.
The other day, I saw that petrol was cheap.
Yep.
And I genuinely went home and tried to figure out the maths on if I could buy enough oil barrels. Like generally,
yeah.
If I could buy enough oil barrels to fill it up, and where would I store them, and how would I do this, and is it feasible to just have an oil barrel in my boot full of petrol? Because that seems like a hazard.
Yeah, but I this is that thing that some people go through, and then they don't realize that fuel goes off.
How fast?
I don't know. It's a thing where it's like it, the way it's stored underground and the way that it's stored is important to keeping it not off.
But they have to transport it, right? In barrels.
Uh-huh. No, they transport it in big fucking trucks.
No, across the ocean. We're not getting it here.
What are you talking about?
Petrol.
Petrol, yeah.
We're buying our oil.
Yeah, but they're not. But sure, it's not in barrels. They probably do it in big fucking giant vats, big, and chuck them on boats.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. Actually, you know what? I don't know.
Me either. So I just assumed it was barrels because
it seems like a big investment.
But like, where, why do we talk about oil barrels then?
I don't know.
You buy oil by the barrel.
Yeah, but oil isn't fuel.
But oil is made. That's how you make fuel, isn't it?
Yeah, but petrol and oil are different things. Like, I put oil in my car and correct. I put petrol in my car.
Correct.
I don't know, but petrol.
Like petrol, you have to have oil to make petrol, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
I thought you did.
I don't know what.
Isn't that the whole thing about why we went to war with the Middle East? Because we needed oil.
But do we need oil for oil?
Yeah, oil.
But like.
I just realized I have no idea what oil is. I have no idea what oil is.
Do we use oil?
I'm sure oil.
Smooth transition.
I was going to cut that just because of the way that I was phrased.
Yeah.
But I don't know what.
I have no idea, but what is it? I mean, crude it could be oil, that. I guess. Also, Australia has crude oil, doesn't it?
I don't know. Is it?
Oh my God.
Is it like.
2 seconds ago, we said we had this figured out. 2 seconds ago.
I don't know.
And now we have no idea.
I don't know what the oil is used for.
I don't know what crude oil is. What's a fossil fuel?
What makes it a fossil?
A fossil fuel, I understand.
What is a fossil fuel?
Literally fuel that was made from fossils.
Is that true? Because that sounds... Here's the thing. That sounds not true.
I'm going to look it up.
So, and fossils of what?
Dinosaurs.
I don't think that's true. I don't think they're getting dinosaur fossils.
Okay. Yeah.
Fuck off.
A natural fuel, yeah, such as coal or gas, formed in the geological past from the remains of living organisms.
No fucking way.
We're just putting dinosaurs in our cars.
Isn't that wild?
No wonder they go so fast.
No wonder the people are mad.
Okay, I'm going to look up what is oil.
Yeah. Why are we...
Wait. Is oil and petrol the same? Petroleum the same thing?
Petroleum is a broad category that includes both crude oil and petroleum products. Mm-hmm. The terms oil and petroleum are sometimes used interchangeably. What's the difference? Don't know.
So maybe crude oil is for our... It's
unprocessed oil. Crude oil is the raw unprocessed oil.
Uh-huh.
And petroleum is processed.
So which do we have the unprocessed oil to put in the oil of our car when it, you know? When
I imagine it's processed.
When you put that straight into the motor.
It's got to be processed.
But then it's fuel.
Caltex Pro X Formula One formula. That sounds pretty fucking processed.
So they use the oil to make petrol and to make like motor oil. Motor oil is the word I've been looking for this whole time.
Yeah, I guess.
Instead of just saying oil.
The name petroleum covers both naturally occurring unprocessed crude oil and petroleum products that are made of refined crude oil. Essentially, while petroleum and oil are often used interchangeably, petroleum includes crude oil and products, while crude oil is just the raw, unprocessed oil itself. Did you know that you need, like, plastic? That's part of the oil industry?
When you hold the mic like this, it sounds like you're, like, underwater. Oh, like...
What do you mean?
We're in, like, a deep cave.
Did you know that plastic is part of the oil, is, like, a byproduct of oil manufacturing?
No.
Yes. Correct. It is.
Sounded like I was saying no, like that was the truth. It's like, do you know? No. Yes, it is.
It is true.
If
you cut the oil, if the world all of a sudden tomorrow ran out of oil, I don't think we can make plastic.
We should run out of oil.
Mate, if we ran out of oil,
we'd be fucked.
The world would plunge into chaos.
When my internet dropped out for like a day.
Yeah, you didn't know what to do with yourself.
I had no idea what to do.
We are.
I bought a 432 hertz flute.
How?
What?
No internet. How?
On my phone.
Did you really?
Yeah. I had internet on my phone. I didn't have like...
Listen, I think we're really quickly divulging into the people from Wally.
Yeah.
I really think we are.
But I think we're about to come out the other side into some sort of... I think the last like 10 years has just been like just the worst of humanity.
Oh, I think it's getting much worse.
I think we're about to hit our peak and we're going to come out the other side into like a... euphoric. Like,
I genuinely think America is going to have a civil war. I really genuinely think that. And I'm so excited for that movie, by the way. The movie Civil War.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen anything about it?
I think you meant you're so excited for the, when they make the movie.
No, there's a movie now about called Civil War that's about a civil war in America.
No.
It's coming out, I think, tomorrow. It looks amazing.
I don't think they're going to have a civil war.
I do. It's become so tribal over there. Yeah, so tribal.
It's, I don't know. It takes a lot for an actual civil war to take place.
There are two wars broken out in the last 5 years.
In where?
Ukraine and Israel.
Yeah, but that's opposing, I guess. I mean, they still are. Actually, yeah, but
they're
that's
just
not
wars, man.
That's
they're
not a war
wars.
Because, like, for it to happen, wars. It is a war, but it's uneven.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's not a war.
It's one side decimating another side. If you have a civil war in America, the military isn't split into two halves.
Correct. I'm not thinking the American Civil War's got anything to do with those two. I just think that the world. I think the conflict is becoming more and more popular again. We're going through that cycle.
Yeah.
But we went through World War One, World War Two, the Great Wars, and then it was like Vietnam, nobody fucking likes war anymore, and then the Gulf War, nobody likes war in Iraq, nobody likes war, and then it's like, oh, wait a second. I think war's back on the menu.
But like what you've just said there is war's always been on the menu.
Yeah, it is, but like I'm talking about like nice frog.
It lights up.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
That's so lovely.
I was really annoyed because I bought it because I was like, oh, this is cute, and now it's like, it lights up. I'm like, now it's tacky.
Well, I think that the popular, what am I trying to say? Social, what's the word I want?
I don't know.
People's attitude towards war.
Yeah.
Was bad, very low. After, like, Second World War, people came back, they're heroes. Vietnam War, people come back, fuck you. Right, it's like that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, the people's attitude towards war was so bad.
I think people's attitude towards war is bad now. I think people don't like war generally across the board.
Okay. Except in some countries.
I mean, it's a bit, but that's like, it's always been like that.
Sure.
You know? Also, we don't...
But it only ever needs to be popular in like two countries and then the world's at war again.
The problem is if the people who charge these wars now aren't going to do it. Because that means the end. Like, there's.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the first time we've had the ability to just.
Just mutually assured
just
destruction.
Just sink an entire country.
Yeah, it's mutually assured.
Yeah, I just don't think.
I do think that the worst is yet to come. I know that's a really pessimistic way of looking at it. But the American election this year is going to be so fucking telling.
But the American election has been telling the last two elections as well.
Yeah, but it hasn't, like, yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, Trump won and then Biden beat Trump and then you're like, oh, okay, Trump's back.
Yeah.
And now it's like fanatical supporters. And it was at the end of the last election as well.
Mm.
But like now it's like,
there's going to be
we've got to reclaim the world.
There's going to be people in 2040 who still have Trump 2020.
Yeah, but I think by 2040 he will be more irrelevant. Like they might follow him and support him, but he will be dead or irrelevant.
Yeah.
But now I think the only people that are supporting Donald Trump are like, you'll never change their mind no matter what.
Yeah.
Which is scary.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
There's a lot of people who can't change their minds about things.
That's true.
I just don't think it's
that's what I'm saying, tribalism. It's on both sides.
Yeah.
You're a tribal progressive or you're a tribal conservative. And they'll clash. They clash.
But they've always clashed. Like Reagan was as bad as Trump. And people's attitude towards Reagan was exactly the same as it was towards Trump.
I don't admit, know if it's just Reagan was as bad as Trump.
No, he personally might not have been as bad. And obviously,
sure, but his policies,
there wasn't media circulation, but the country was divided. If you like Reagan, you were a piece of shit.
Sure.
And then if it was also kind of like contrarian and cool to like Reagan, because, you know, in the same way,
like,
I feel like a lot of people, like a good, I can't say for everybody, but I feel like a good chunk of people who like Trump were contrarian and they were like, shaking things up. Like, you know.
So those idiots that voted for Brexit. I'm just going to vote for it because it's never going to pass.
Or just like, I want to watch the world burn. Like, there's always going to be those kinds of people.
Yeah, true. Very true.
And you say this, it's that cycle thing. I think there's a guide of it. There's like 4 points of like war, blah, duh, duh. And we apparently go through that.
Yeah.
If you look through history, we go through that constantly. And I don't know how well that lines up, whether that's just some weird social construct that
Well, some before society. We were able to definitely say, if you attack me, I'll destroy your whole country.
Mm-hmm.
That's really accurate.
Yeah.
And back in, you know, back in the day, ye olde day, where it was like wars were just so normal and it's like, I want more land, I want this, I want that.
Yeah.
Land grabs, but now everything's so regimented. And there's so many governing bodies. Maybe that's it. There's so many international accords. There's so many, you know, NATO and
yeah.
all that. That's like... Nobody can. You can't do any of that
yeah.
anymore.
Well, I mean, what we've proven is that you can.
What, you can. What's been really, proven
now is really that. But, kind of but that's also within one country.
The Israel thing is a total other kettle of fish
that yeah.
I'm not comfortable in talking about on the podcast.
And that's been bubbling and brewing for
hundreds of years.
But that, but that's just why I don't use that as a reflection.
No,
of
but
like,
I'm talking Ukraine. If the yeah. Ukraine was part of NATO, we would be in a fucking all-out war.
Yeah.
But the Russians got... The reason the Russians invaded is because Ukraine was going to become part of NATO.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russians didn't, the reason. Then they didn't like the fact that they would have the Western powers so close to their border. So they thought, we'll just take over. And Ukraine was part of the USSR and formerly part of Russia. So they thought, well, that belongs to us.
Crazy.
It really is fucking crazy. And like Putin just had his election and... His election. Do you know what I mean? Like he yeah. just had his election. And we all just like, cool. Like nobody does anything.
There's nothing we can do. It's their country and their you know, thing. You
it's
know?
Wild.
It's the same with like if we could do something.
We can do something, we just but we can't do something.
Decimate North Korea. But like at the same time, that's their country and they're handling it their way. And you, are they a threat? You keep your eye on them, that sort of business. Like
I know that it's their country, but it's totally It's inhumane.
Yeah, it's wild.
In both countries.
Yeah. But once we get to the point where we can just walk into a country and change things.
Yeah, you're not doing the right thing.
We're
opening. And also that's what so many meddling fucking, the US meddling in Vietnam and the yeah. US fucking meddling in the Middle East and yeah. all sorts. And actually, you know what? I'm not getting into it because I don't feel comfortable.
And it's only they'll only go in if it's beneficial to them.
Yeah, of course. You're not going to go in for no reason.
No. I could change the subject. I do have a story.
Yeah, tell me.
I have a new spot buddy at the gym.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name?
It's a lady.
What's her name?
Anyways, sorry. So she comes up to me and says, can I get a spot? And I was like, that's fucking phenomenal because I want a spot buddy at the gym. And I needed a spot so I can try and pump up my max. Unbelievable.
You fucking pain in the ass. Get out.
Go on, Ellie. Out.
Smooth transition.
She comes up, asks for a spot. I said, yeah, let's do it. Oh,
Ellie,
smooth transition.
She asked for a spot.
Yep.
Which get is on your fucking chair. Get on your chair.
Sit. Smooth transition.
Oh, I feel so terrible.
So she asked for a spot.
What do you mean? Well, I'm not angry. Are you angry?
So she asks for a spot.
Yeah.
I go to give her a spot. Which is fine. And I gave the general like pep talk. Like, all right, easy, piss easy, you got this,
yep.
fucking go. And she did one rep. I'm like, you get us fucking, you blast her through this, 10 easy, let's go, come on, keep going.
How old is this person?
I don't know, 20, like my age, maybe a bit younger.
Sure. Ooh, potential romance. Hello.
I don't even know her fucking name.
Okay. I've slept with plenty of people.
Smooth transition.
Just then I'm like, she's deaf. Like if she asked like what the stuff was, I'm like, she's going to be listening to this podcast and she's going to be like, that motherfucker doesn't know my name. I know your name starts with I did her. I gave her pump up and then it was my turn. And she was so aggressive.
Good.
So much. And it's so loud.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. She did this like I was
bench press.
Yeah, bench press. So sure. She's set up and she's like, all right, no. So you're still sitting up a little
okay.
bit. And she's like, all right, you got this. She, like that. And
yeah.
then she's like, you got this. You got, and I hit him.
It's
so
like,
up.
Stop hitting.
And yeah. And she was like, and then I lay down to the bench and she's do the press. And I get one out. She's like, piss easy.
She's like, matching your energy.
So fucking loud. And then did this, like did this one. She went, and I was like, girl.
The gym is such a strange place.
Chill.
Yeah. Daddy, chill.
Sorry, did I? That hurt my hand.
No, I'm pretty tough.
But see how you like? I hit you once, and then you like stopped.
Yeah, I'm like,
and then
stop.
I came back. It like,
stop. Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't like it. I've got to tell you, it didn't hurt me, but I didn't like it.
No, but I tell you what, I did like it. I was like, this is the energy, and then I fucking smashed out the rest of my sets, and I was peaking my max, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we go about the same time, so I'm like, all right, now I've got a.
So
now I got a pump pal.
Oh.
A little pump pal. You know what else? She's. I gotta cut this bit. That's the end of the podcast. That's the end of the podcast.
Hey, it's GMAT here from The Real GMAT. And don't forget that if you enjoyed this episode of the GMAT podcast and you want to hear more, we also have the podcast post show, which is available exclusively to our Patreon supporters at patreon.com/GMATpodcasts. The podcast post show is a shorter episode recorded directly after the regular podcast where we wrap up the episode and talk about the things we didn't have time to talk about. Don't forget to rate this podcast on your podcast app of choice and share it with all of your friends.